Okay, Mr. Roffling.
Good morning. May it please the court, Lawrence Rolfing on behalf of Vindermina R. This case is a Social Security case. It's step five of the sequential evaluation process. Parties in the district court have basically agreed that the ALJ...
Just a minute. Why is she called Wilhelmina R, not with a name?
I'm sorry?
How come she doesn't have a last name in this title?
Social Security, the rules of Federal Rules of Civil Procedure have suggested for privacy reasons.
They always have names. We've had hundreds of these cases. They always have names.
Right.
This is the first one I've ever seen that is titled without a name. I don't know why.
I think the clerk did that, Your Honor.
I see.
Picked it up from the district court. The district courts are now doing that regularly. I agree. It's confusing, but.
All right. Go ahead.
Everyone agrees that the ALJ should have meant to or implied or it was understood that Yermina had a limitation of standing and walking for 6 hours in an 8-hour day. And it's clear that the ALJ never asked the vocational expert to assume that question. The question is whether it's material, whether the error is harmless.
What question actually asked to the vocational expert? What was the question that was posed?
The question that was posed, Your Honor, is that I don't have it in front of me right this very second.
If that's your argument, I would think you would have it right at your fingertips, because that's the crux of your argument, that the ALJ did not include within the hypothetical the limitation.
Yes, Your Honor, the judge directed the vocational expert to assume light work, but never included any standing and walking limitation at all.
So your argument is that by referencing light work, the ALJ did not adequately convey the 6-hour limitation.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And either the reason the Terry DOT case doesn't... Why is the Terry case not controlling?
There are three separate reasons why Terry isn't controlling. First of all, Terry doesn't address the language in ruling 8310 that says that that sitting may occur intermittently during the remaining time. Terry doesn't address the sitting aspect definition of light or medium work. The ruling is quite clear that the modal verb is may, and may means not necessarily. And so sitting as defined in the DOT, the regulations, and this may language contained in the ruling, it's clear that there is no ceiling in an 8-hour workday for standing and walking. The only exertional capacity that has a ceiling for standing and walking is sedentary, but may sit intermittently during the remaining time.
I understand implied. That, as somebody said, maybe the ALJ or Terry said, I guess, it's not the best language in the world because it means sitting intermittently, meaning between the standings. That's what it meant to mean. Intermittently, meaning when you're not standing. But you have to stand but you can't stand for more than 6 hours. What else? Do you have any other reasons?
Yes. The three cases addressing similar language in the definition of sedentary work, where the same ruling says that sitting is generally about 6 hours, Tackett, Berdigan, and Outland all define sedentary work as sitting most, if not all, the day, or 6 to 8 hours in an 8-hour day. We have the same linguistic structure on those exertional capacities, and to sit intermittently and then exclude during the remaining time violates basic canon of
fashion. What about the fact that the light work has another element, which is another possibility? It could either be standing, but it could also be sitting most of the time, but with some pushing and pulling.
which is why it's important to define the terms, which is important why the function-by-function analysis with respect to something as critical as standing and walking is important. The ruling states elsewhere that the primary difference between sedentary and light work is the amount of standing and walking. And housekeepers and cafeteria attendants and dry cleaners are not sit-down jobs. They're stand-up jobs. We know that because we're not robbed of our common sense. And so do housekeeping cleaners sit a quarter of the day? The answer is no, they don't. We know.
Counsel, the question in this case is whether or not substantial evidence supports the ruling. So why doesn't substantial evidence support? Perhaps there was a better way to phrase the question, but is it such that there is no substantial evidence to support the ruling? That's a very high standard.
Well, Your Honor, we assume that people answer the question that's asked. And the vocational expert was not asked to assume a standing and walking limitation.
Well, it could be.
They were
it could be argued that using the phrase light work necessarily encompassed that limitation in accordance with the Social Security rulings that have defined light work in that way. What's your response to that?
Only if we assume that the vocational expert doesn't know how to read. Because it says sitting 6 hours and stand and may sit intermittently during the remaining time.
But you're also assuming that the vocational expert is unfamiliar with the term of art that was used by the Social Security ALJ.
The term of art is defined in the DOT. And the Social Security Administration is not privileged to construe the DOT. The administration has taken notice of the DOT. It's contained in the regulation, has no standing and walking limitation.
And a ruling from the Social Security Administration as well, though.
And it doesn't say that light work is defined as at standing and walking at most six and sitting two.
I'm missing something here. The main difference or a main difference between the medium work and the light work definitions, as I see it, is that the light work says requires a good deal of walking or standing, or it involves sitting most of the time. And the medium work doesn't have the or. So with regard to the medium work, as defined in the ruling, because there isn't even any standing limitation in the regulation, you know that sitting should generally total approximately 6 hours of an 8 hour work day, and standing or walking whatever the phrase is. For a total of 6 hours. But with the light work, because of the or, we don't actually, if we look at it as a term of art, it's possible that the vocational expert could have thought that it did involve walking for more than 6 hours, but it involves sitting most of the time with some pushing and pulling. In other words, that it was the other piece. It's a less distinct definition because it has two alternatives. So how would that come out? What would that matter? You haven't argued it this way at all.
Yeah, the possibility that the vocational expert might have stumbled onto the definition with a ceiling of 6 hours.
No, that's not what I'm talking
would be
about.
Sufficient if...
Excuse me, that's not what I meant. He might have stumbled on a definition. Well, first of all, you'd think he's an expert, so he's not stumbling. He knows the definition. But the definition in this instance has an alternative, i.e. you could either have a good deal of walking and standing, or it could involve sitting most of the time with some pushing and pulling. So it doesn't, by saying that he could go to late work, he wasn't necessarily saying, recognizing that there was a 6 hour to 8 hour limitation with regard to the light work, he could have been looking at it as the second piece. Is that right, or you're not arguing that, or what?
Well, you haven't argued that so far.
Well, the hypothetical question allows a sit-down light work job, but the vocational expert didn't identify sit-down light work. The vocational expert identified stand-up walking light work. And so is there a factual basis upon which we can assume that the vocational expert assumed 6 hours in an eight-hour day?
That's what Terry says, that the vocational expert assumed that it's a six-hour work day. So Terry cuts against your argument, and I haven't heard a viable reason for us to distinguish Terry in this case because it's almost the exact same scenario.
Mr. Rowling, and Terry, didn't the court make specific findings, functional findings?
Didn't the ALJ make functional findings for sitting, standing, and walking?
Right.
Right.
And there was a hypothetical that included that, right?
No, the hypothetical was medium work.
Yeah.
No defined.
Medium.
And medium.
But medium doesn't have an alternative meaning, right?
Truck drivers.
That's a distinction between light work and medium, right?
There are medium jobs that are sit-down jobs. Bus drivers are sit-down job and it's medium. Truck drivers are sit-down job and it's medium. It's the lifting and carrying that makes it medium.
It's
not the sitting, not the standing, not the walking. It's the lifting.
Isn't
25
the,
occasions.
Isn't there a requirement that there the ALJ make residual functional capacity findings or not?
Yes, function by function.
And wasn't that done in this case?
No. The sitting, standing, and walking limitations articulated by the state agency doctors are not in the examination of the vocational expert, and they're not in the ALJ decision. They're just simply not there. It's silent. And if someone says the person can do light work and the vocational expert asks, is your testimony consistent with the DOT? That's on page 53 of the administrative record. Has your testimony been consistent with the DOT? Well, the DOT doesn't have a standing and walking limitation. The DOT allows a job to be standing and walking 8 hours out of 8 hours, and it still meets the definition of light work that's contained in the DOT. The ALJ didn't ask, is your testimony consistent with Social Security ruling 8310? And by not invoking it, that runs afoul of the Third Circuit decision in Sykes.
Well, the Third Circuit decision is not binding on us, so that doesn't help you.
That's persuasive.
Well, could be, could be not.
Okay, well, your time is up. We'll give you a minute or a rebuttal.
Thank you.
Ms. Freer.
Good morning, Your Honors. Elizabeth Freer for Kilolo Kijikazi, the Acting Commissioner of Social Security. Terry controls this case. It's about a mutual understanding, a shared understanding. That's the language in the decision. And so what we need to know here, as Terry also says, is the relevant question is whether or not the VE understood the limitations that the ALJ was presenting. And on pages 51 to 52, the ALJ presents the exact limitations that appear in the RFC later on. No one questioned that testimony. Ford says unquestioned testimony from a vocational expert is substantial evidence.
Just a minute. You said that the ALJ did make specific findings?
RFC?
I said the ALJ presented the vocational expert with the exact limitations that appear in the RFC. There is a difference here, and I think that's what Judge Antoon was getting to, that in Terry, the ALJ subsequently expanded the shorthand of medium into the stand, walk, and the lifting requirements in the RFC. The ALJ didn't do that here. She said light and then the other non-exertional limitations that she had presented to the vocational expert. We maintain that's not a meaningful difference because, again, Terry stands for whether or not the VE understood the ALJ by using that shorthand, medium, here it's light, and I think there's absolutely no question here that the VE understood what that meant when she was answering or when he was answering the ALJ's questions. And to the point of, yes, it's true, the definition of light does have that alternative that says, or if the job is primarily sitting, but it includes and using foot or hand controls.
Right.
None of these jobs have that. I'm sorry.
But
none of these jobs.
But what that means is that when the ALJ found the RFC, he didn't specify whether he was finding that she could do a good deal of walking or standing, or she couldn't do a good deal of walking and standing, but she could sit most of the time with pushing and pulling of arms and hands and leg foot controls. He didn't say which one it was, because he never did a function-by-function analysis. So then when he sends it to the vocational expert with only that shorthand, again, the vocational expert is getting it with both pieces in it, because no one has specified which one we're talking about. And he then finds that she can do these jobs that require standing, which may not be what the ALJ found, because the ALJ never said what he found.
Well, I think the fact that, first of all, SSR 8212 says that light jobs that involve mostly sitting are few. So given the years and years, well, decades that this SSR has been in place defining light work with that 6 hour standing walking and then 2 hours intermittently sitting, that is kind of the standard. That's the default. Because the other kinds of jobs are so rare, and because the ALJ here didn't talk about foot controls.
Where does it say it's rare?
It's in SSR. It does. I'm not sure it says rare, but it says in SSR 8212, which is not the primary source here. There is language in there that says relatively few light jobs require being mostly. Relatively few. That's the language from the SSR.
There's also a directive that says the ALJ is supposed to find the actual limitations and not simply put a label on it for light work. It says specifically, don't do it that way. You're supposed to find the actual limitations. So by not doing that in this instance, where there is an alternative, rare or otherwise, we don't know what he was sending to the vocational expert was inherently ambiguous.
Well, I don't. And therefore, it's not
different
crystal
than Terry.
Clear.
Because in Terry, there was no problem like that.
Well, again, Terry does use the language mutual shared understanding, and that if there was, first of all, the RFC doesn't have anything about foot or arm controls, and that is a caveat to the alternative sitting jobs in light.
Well, the
because the ALJ
didn't have
include
anything.
Any of that.
That's the problem here, that the RFC had nothing. It just said it was a light job, so it could have had arm and hand and light foot controls. I mean, we don't know, because he didn't say what it was.
Well, she didn't put that in there. She didn't need to include the light works as a shorthand the way it did with medium in Terry. Because there are relatively few light jobs that involve sitting, it follows that if the ALJ had meant that, because that also requires the arm and hand controls, because that's so unusual, that would have been in the RFC. We are saying that because this light is
almost always...
But that's
a completely different analysis than Terry. Terry was based on the actual language of the regulation and of the and of 8310, and it says not just, you know, all of us in the field have the same understanding, but it's written down, and this is what it means. So everybody knows what it means. Now you're saying, well, it's written down, but we don't really use it traditionally. That's a different analysis.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that light jobs are almost always not the full 8 hours standing and walking, or they're not the sitting with the arm and leg controls, which is the only part that's actually in the regulation. So, and again, take this back to shared understanding. If that VE was confused,
exactly why the directive to the ALJ says you're supposed to actually find the specific limitations and not just use the shorthand at the stage of determining the RFC. That's a different question of what you tell the vocational expert.
Counsel, may I ask you, was this issue regarding the alternative for light work raised in the district court?
No, it wasn't. And that's another point that my opponent is not arguing that that's the ambiguity in the way the VE presented the evidence. My opponent is arguing that the ALJ essentially found absolutely no standing and walking limitations, which is not a reasonable reading of that RFC, and her use of the term light in this case is a common understanding. It was a common understanding here. If it wasn't, and given the jobs that the VE identified, they are the typical light jobs. They're not somebody sitting and using arm and leg controls. They're not somebody who has to stand constantly like a server would. And so the proper question here is what was understood. If the claimant's attorney who was present at the hearing thought there was something just grossly ambiguous about the ALJ presenting the VE with a category light, he could have asked that. There was no questions asked at the administrative hearing. There was no argument about this presented to the appeals council. It's only until we get into district court that Mr. Rolfing is saying now we have no idea what the ALJ meant by that RFC. I don't think that's accurate. I think it's the ALJ's use of light in this case was it's very reasonable to take it as the default of what light usually means, which is the first part of the definition in the regulation and not that second part, which is relatively few jobs that actually
Without that distinction, how do we know that there's substantial evidence to support the decision? I mean,
well, we have,
how would we know that?
We have an RFC. We have an RFC for light work. We have jobs that qualify as light work under any definition. The jobs don't have to be one or the other to be light. The jobs in this case are clearly light jobs under the Dictionary of Occupational Titles. Therefore, the VE's testimony, which was also unchallenged, which by Ford says that is substantial evidence that supports the ALJ's decision.
And counsel, we review the record that was made by the parties. And the arguments that were raised by the parties to determine whether or not there's substantial evidence in support of the ruling. Correct?
Yes, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a feedback. That's why I keep stopping. The fact in this case is that there's a shared understanding here. We can throw out all kinds of hypotheticals about, well, what if this, what if that. What actually happened here was the VE understood the ALJ. The ALJ relied on the VE's testimony. The RFC is for light. The jobs are light. And that should be the end of the story here. And Terry says when an ALJ uses a long-standing term of art that has a meaning, and this does have a meaning under the regulation and the ruling, that's okay. And here, Terry didn't make new law.
Even though we don't know which option under light work was referred to. We don't know that.
Well,
it's not like medium work, or it's just one definition. This is an alternative definition.
Yes, I understand that the light regulation is a little bit different, but it does also, what we have here is the jobs in question are not the alternative ones. So that sort of, that shows that it's a default.
Well, it shows that's what he understood, but it doesn't show that's what the ALJ sent him. That's the problem.
The ALJ accepted those jobs, so that is a meeting of the minds. Well, the ALJ accepted the jobs that the vocational expert identified, therefore the ALJ agrees that those jobs satisfy the RFC that she had issued.
And if counsel for claimant had any question or felt that there was ambiguity in the record, that was the opportunity to clear up that ambiguity, correct?
Absolutely. Yes,
okay,
Your Honor.
You're out of time. Thank you very much for your argument. Which was helpful. Mr. Rolfing, do you have a minute or if you like? Now, you did not make this argument about the alternatives. And in fact, when I raised it, you seemed to be resisting it. So I'm not sure we can rely on it in any fashion. Do you want to comment on that? He has 1 minute,
yes,
but it's not going down. Yes.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No, go ahead.
Yarmina raised the issue of the standing and walking absence of a limitation in the ALJ decision to the Appeals Council. This issue was raised during the administrative process before the ALJ decision became the final decision.
What issue
of the
was
commission.
Raised? What issue was raised?
The standing and walking
right,
issue.
Right, that's
was raised.
What was raised.
Right.
It was raised to the Appeals Council.
Right,
said
it
the
was.
Judge, the ALJ
okay.
didn't address it. And under Embry and Burton,
and make the
and Hill,
distinction that's being made here today regarding the alternatives in the light work category. You didn't make that distinction in your appeal.
It's a distinction without a difference. I assume that the ALJ intended to, by his by her plain language, light work, that the ALJ intended to find that Guillermina could do both. Sit all day.
Not the argument
and stand
you
all
made.
Day.
That's not the argument you made. You're making that argument here for the first time.
No.
You didn't make that argument before about there being an alternative to the light work. You've never made that argument.
I've never made that argument. Absolutely not. I've never made that argument because these are stand-up jobs. And as counsel for the commissioner has conceded, not all light jobs have a six-hour limit, which means it's important when we have an eroded residual functional capacity to ask, are these six-hour jobs or are these eight-hour jobs? Because
Were you there at the hearing?
I was not.
Okay, counsel had the opportunity to ask those questions, correct?
It is not the burden of the claimant.
I didn't ask you whose burden it was. I asked you, did counsel have the opportunity to ask those questions?
Certainly he had the opportunity. It's not his burden, though. It's the ALJ's burden. The ALJ must ask the complete question under Tackett and under Reddick and under Embry.
So just to be clear, your argument is only that the light work designation might include more than 6 hours of walking or standing.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
Thank
correct.
You for your argument. And the case of Guillermina R. Rodriguez versus Kijas Kazi is submitted. We will take a short break. Thank you.